The Lord be with you. Thank you. The little video that you just saw gives you a little bit of background on this special Sunday that we share every year on October the 1st. It's known as World Communion Sunday, like it talked about. And there are Christians around the world today that are sharing our common faith and this common experience of the Lord's Supper. And so, you know, in our church, we celebrate communion every first Sunday of the month. But on this particular Sunday, we join with a lot of other believers in other churches as we celebrate communion as well. The offering that it talked about in the video, I wanted you to know how we specifically use our offerings here. One of the things that we support through our general fund giving, which is when you put money in the offering plates any given Sunday, a portion of that goes to support our missionary partners. And we have several of them that we specifically partner with, one of which is Allie Mellon, who is from this community. And y'all know that Allie works with women and children around the world who have been trafficked and are a victim of human trafficking. And so we are proud supporters of Allie and other missionaries, some in India and in Central America. So we support them through our regular offering. But on particularly on Communion Sunday, we are invited to bring an offering to support local benevolences right here in our community through our Helping Hands Fund. And so that means if somebody comes into our office and they need help, a single mom needs help getting groceries for the children, or somebody's struggling to pay a utility bill, as we're able, as we have funds, we try to help and assist those families. And so the Helping Hands Fund, which we collect on Communion Sundays, helps us to do that. So as you come for communion this morning, if you would like to contribute to the Helping Hands Fund, Davis, can we make sure that we have those offering baskets put back on these tables on the outside for communion? You don't have to do it right now, but toward the end of the service, as people come for communion. So I just wanted you guys to know a little bit about what makes today so special. Now, I also want to remind you of something very exciting that's going to be happening tonight. You probably heard about it in the announcement video, but I want to reemphasize that we're having a night of prayer and praise right here at 5 p.m. in this space. The band, Tom's going to be back. He's leading a revival this morning down in Raleigh. But he'll be back, and the band will be here leading us in an extended time of worship tonight. We're also going to have some prayer stations around the room that will allow you to move into those spaces for private prayer. We're also going to be here, Katie and I, to pray with people that want to be prayed for. So we're going to have a great service, and I hope you'll join us. I've been really looking forward to it. Since we started our 30 days of prayer and fasting, we thought this would be a great way to kind of bookend that experience for us. So please come tonight. It'll be from 5 to 6 p.m. Now, the message today is going to be in the book of Ephesians. We're going to be in chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. So if you have your Bibles, join with me. If you didn't bring a Bible, don't worry. We got it on the screens for you. Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. The Apostle Paul writes in this letter to the church at Ephesus these words. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. God, as we open your word today, may you give us understanding. And God, as we seek that understanding and wisdom, we also open our hearts to your Holy Spirit, that you might speak words of truth to us. Teach us, Lord. Guide our lives that we may be faithful followers of Christ our Lord. And it's in His name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I got back yesterday, last night, from an event that was held in the Mississippi Delta. It was called the Delta Epic. The Delta Epic is a 300-mile gravel race on a bicycle. So I was a part of a relay team for this bicycle race. I found three other friends, and we joined a relay team, and we each did a 75-mile leg from up at Arkabutler Lake, which is in DeSoto County, and we biked through the Mississippi Delta down into Tunica and Friars Point, into Clarksdale and Cleveland, Indianola, Setarsha, and we ended up in Bentonia last night. So when I put this team together, I said, y'all, we have one goal here, and it's to win. I said, we're in it to win it. We're going to win this relay race. Well, little did we know, there were two groups from New Orleans that came up here to join in the relay along with some others locally. And we didn't win, but we came in third, so I'm happy with that. We came in third place. Yes. Well, let me tell you about the leg that I was participating in. So I told the crew, I said, guys, I'll do the first leg. It started at midnight Friday night. So I biked my 75 miles along with those that were starting together. We biked. I finished up my leg at 4 a.m. in Clarksdale, and I handed the GPS tracking device to my teammate, and off he went. They kept relaying it until we finished last night in Bentonia at about, I think it was 6 p.m. Let me tell you about the team. Now, there's a point to all this, so just hang with me, okay? So the team that I put together were this group of folks that I had built relationship with in Starkville. One of them is a professor at Mississippi State University, Dr. Mulvaney. He is an expert in soybeans. I know nothing about soybeans, okay? Another person on our team was Michelle Chastain. She's a strong bicyclist, and her husband own a real estate company. I know nothing about real estate. The fourth person of our team was Dr. Drew Anthony. He's a physician in Starkville, and he owns a medical clinic. He and his family, they practice that clinic. And I know nothing about flu shots and how to fix, you know, if you get sick, okay, other than give you a Tylenol. But the point is, you know, we were all from these diverse backgrounds, but we shared something in common together. Love of riding bicycles. And we also were unified around a common goal. The goal was to win. And I challenged them. Last week, I said, guys, we're going to win this thing. We're going to go out there and compete. And they were like, yes, we're on board. We're going to do it. And so we were all encouraged to do our best, to put it all out there. And we did. And when I think about the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians, I think a lot about what we just did. You see, there's an analogy that kind of relates between these two things that Paul is talking about. You know, Paul starts the fourth chapter. He is pivoting in this book. You see, the first three chapters, he's been talking about the theological foundations in our life. And he says, because of Jesus Christ, we are all part of one family. We are part of the family of God. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are joint heirs with Jesus. Because of what Jesus has done, we are made into this one sort of community of people that are all following Jesus. And you see, I think that the analogy of the bike race is a helpful analogy because, you see, even in the church, we all come from a lot of diverse backgrounds, don't we? Lots of different professions are in this room, different ages, you know, when we think about the church outside these walls, there are a lot of different cultures where the church exists. The Bible is read in numerous languages. And when we gather for worship, no matter where we are, we all have a little bit different faith tradition. Even right here in this community, in the microcosm of Clinton, you will find that the church across the street does things a little bit differently. And that's okay. But you know what all, you know what brings us all together? Jesus. For those that are gathered together worshiping Christ, we are one family. And that's what World Communion Sunday celebrates, is that we all come around the same table, Christ's table. And this is the point that Paul is making here. When he gets to chapter 4, he's laid that theological foundation, and now in chapter 4, he is wanting us to know that this unity that we have is one of the most important things. And we have to maintain it. We have to work at it. And this is what Paul wants us to know. This is his last message to his friends. You know, he starts here in chapter 4 and he says, I, a prisoner of the Lord. He's speaking literally there. I mean, he's a man in chains. He's in a jail cell writing this letter. And he's saying, guys, I don't know if this is going to be my last words to you or not, but I want you to know how important it is for us to be unified as believers. So Paul's hope is for unity. You know, and when I think about Jesus, there's a story in his life too where he makes unity a focal point. It's found in a section of Scripture called the Farewell Discourse, and it's in John chapter 17. And in John 17, we find Jesus' ask and imagine prayer. You know, the theme for our series in Ephesians has been ask and imagine, because if you look just right above where we read, Paul talks about that. That God can do abundantly far more than we can ask or imagine. And in John 17, Jesus prays this type of prayer to the Father. He's giving his disciples his last farewell message. And he prays for them. And he says this in John 17, 20 through 21. I ask not only on behalf of these, and he's talking about his disciples, the 12. But he says, also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word. That's you and me. And here's what he prays, that they may all be one. You see, Jesus thought that the unity of his followers was very important. And the thing that Paul and Jesus share in common is this desire for a unified church. And so this is where Paul wants the focus to be. Now in chapters 4, 5, and 6, he's going to get real practical. He's going to show us how those theological foundations influence our everyday life. And because of our common faith in Jesus, then there's to be a common unity in the life of the church and how we live out our mission. And Paul, he talks about it in the form of a calling. Listen to what he says in verse 1 again. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beg you. He says, I plead with you to walk in a manner that's worthy of the calling to which you have been called. The calling he's talking about is the calling to a life of faith through Christ. Now, what Paul wants us to know is that there is a connection that we all share. And it's a very powerful and strong connection. And that connection is Jesus Christ. And so what he's saying is, don't forget that we've all been called to follow Jesus. And we may do it in different ways, and we may celebrate and worship in different ways, but there is this one Savior. one faith, one Lord, one God of us all. And that is the bond that holds Christians together. So he says, don't forget that calling. Don't forget that unity. And he says, but I want you to know that there are going to be challenges to that unity. And he may even be having something very specific in mind that the church in Ephesus is dealing with. We don't know that. He doesn't give us the context for this. But we can imagine, because we know even in our relationships how difficult it is to maintain them. You know, there's something that the church and this idea of unity has in common with roads. R-O-A-D-S, roads. You know, the thing about roads is they have to be maintained. You know, that shouldn't be any clearer than it is for folks who live in Hinds County. Y'all, we have some messed up roads. I was, when I first moved here a couple months ago, I was looking for a more direct route to a university medical center. I had to go visit somebody. And I saw this road, and I remembered, you know, growing up coming to Jackson and seeing Fortification Street. Yeah, ooh. And so I take off on Fortification Street one day, and I'm just bebopping along, and I kept seeing these cars in front of me. They were like swerving over into different lanes and doing all this crazy stuff. And it didn't take me long to realize what they're doing. They're dodging potholes. And I hit one of those things, and I think the bottom of my vehicle slammed the pavement. And I came up with a new name for Fortification Street. Avoidication Street. Don't do it. Don't go down Fortification Street on this west side. I'm telling y'all, it's a nightmare. Y'all already know that, though. Roads have to be maintained. Unity has to be maintained. Relationships have to be maintained. How do we do it? Well, Paul gets real practical. You remember, I told you a minute ago, chapters 4, 5, and 6, Paul gets really practical. And he talks about that even though there are potholes and pitfalls to our unity, that if we want to maintain our relationships inside and outside the church, we got to keep working at it. And this comes into play when it's, you know, with your family members, your children, your spouse, your coworkers, anywhere where you have significant relationships in your life, you have to work at them to maintain the unity in them. And Paul says there are four virtues that help us to maintain those relationships. And I'm going to give them to you real quick here. He spells them out. Listen to what he says here. He's in verse 2, he says, with all humility, with gentleness and patience, bear with one another in love. And he says, when we do that, we are making effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit, the unity of our connection in Christ, which is the bond of peace. So the four virtues, humility, gentleness, patience, and love. All right, let me spell these out for you a little bit. So the humility piece. The word that Paul uses for humility in his letters is a made-up word. Like in the Greek language of his day, there wasn't a word like we have humility in English because in the Greek culture, they didn't think humility was a positive thing. Like humility was a debased thing. If somebody was humble, they were thought to be cowardly, and it was a shameful virtue. But we know that our Christian understanding of humility is a very positive thing. And the reason we believe positively about humility is because of Jesus' life. Remember in Philippians chapter 2, Paul writes there that Christ, who was with God in the beginning, says he humbled himself and took on the form of a human man and he came to earth. He humbled himself by coming to earth. And Paul goes on in that chapter to say we are to strive to be like Christ in that form of humility. That we are to humble ourselves, empty ourselves. And so this humility, what does it require of us? Here are a few rules that you can follow in thinking about what this looks like in your life. The first rule is this: don't think less of yourself, but think of yourself less. That's humility. Don't think less of yourself, but just think of yourself less. In other words, put other people first. That's humility. Some people have said it like this: don't seek so much to be understood as to understand. In other words, we should listen twice as much as we speak, because we have two ears and one mouth, right? So listening is showing the people that you care about a form of humility. Listening. And then in the another rule to keep in mind here about humility is in the words of this song by Paul Thorne. Y'all need to look up Paul Thorne. He's a great singer-songwriter from Mississippi. He's a folk singer from the Tupelo area. And in one of his songs, there's a line that says this: you may be right, but you may be wrong. Think about that. You know, we have our perspectives. We think we're right. We have an opinion. It feels right. But you should use a measure of humility and know that there's somebody else that probably has a different perspective. Sometimes they're wrong, but they could be right too. So just have a little bit of open-mindedness. And these things help to maintain our relationships, to maintain unity. Did y'all know that people in the church can disagree about stuff? Oh yeah, we can, can't we? Have a little humility. All right, the second thing, these are going to go much faster. Be gentle, he says. You know, this word in the Greek is associated with training animals. An animal that is trained, that a gentle animal, is one that has learned to obey the reins. You know, picture a horse with the reins, and that horse that's been trained, when you hold those reins, if you pull to the right, it goes to the right. If you pull to the left, it goes to the left. If you pull back, it stops. You know, those basic gestures. That horse has learned to be obedient and is gentle. It's practicing self-control. And that's really at the root of what Paul is talking about here in showing gentleness. It shows some self-restraint. Be self-controlled. In our relationships, there are things that anger us. I have a rule for you to follow to help you when you're angry. Take a time out. Take a time out. The last thing you want to do is try to resolve a conflict when the emotions are really high, because emotions are irrational. But if you can step away, take a time out, and say, honey, let's talk about that in about 30 minutes. Go walk in the yard. Go do something else for a few minutes. Distance yourself from that conflict enough to where you can remove or escalate the emotion. Then you can think rationally. So show some self-restraint. Be gentle. It is a form of kindness when there's conflict. All right, patient, third thing. Y'all, this means having the will to never give in and never give up, despite how difficult the circumstances might get. Okay? And y'all, this mirrors God's patience towards us. When we were rebellious in our relationship to God, God shows a lot of patience in the plan of salvation for all of us. You know, he shows great patience in sending Jesus, and how we are all invited to place our faith in Jesus. God, the Bible says, is patient with us. He's long-suffering with us, not wanting any of us to perish, but to come to faith through Christ. So God demonstrates patience to us. And so we should demonstrate patience to one another. You know, patience is about persevering, even when it's not easy. Don't give up on the relationship. Don't settle, even when it's hard. You got to keep staying at the table. You know, we practice that in our family. You know, if somebody does something wrong or there's a conflict going on in the family, when it's dinner time, you don't get a pass. You got to come to the table. Now, it may be some tension. You know, it may be a whole lot of eating and not much talking, but that's okay. Because we want to communicate that you're still part of the family, that you are still important to me. You are valuable to me, even though we may not see eye to eye right now. And I think that's a great lesson for the church. At this table, we still have a place at this table. Even though there may be conflicts and disagreements at times, you still keep coming. There is a grace available for us. We got to persevere. We got to be patient with each other. And God can help us resolve those differences. And the final thing is love, that Paul says, bear with one another in love. And what he's talking about there is the power to love people that we don't agree with. That is so hard to do. What does that require of me? Sometimes you just got to put up with people. You just got to put up with them. And you got to learn to see the good and the positive in everyone. That's loving them. When you find the value in their life, when you can celebrate something about your relationship, that is loving them. That is putting up with them even at times. And Paul says you just got to keep doing it. This is so important to maintain our unity. Now let me ask you this. Out of these four virtues, humility, gentleness, patience, and love, which one do you need more of in your life? Something to think about. I invite you to prayerfully take that before the Lord in your devotion time this week. Where do you need to experience growth? Where are there some rough edges in your relationships? Maybe you need to grow in one of these virtues. You know, this stuff isn't easy, but we're supposed to keep working at it because we are the church and we're supposed to be a different kind of community. We're a different version of what community looks like for the world. And we're so bad at it sometimes as a church. But by the grace of God, we just got to keep working at it. We got to keep trying to maintain this bond of unity that we have, because we share a common mission. And the only way we are going to be able to live the mission, and you know what the mission is? It never gets beyond Matthew 28, where Jesus says, go into all the world and make disciples, baptize them, and teach them to obey my commands. And he says, I'm with you to the ends of the age until I come back. That's our mission. Now, we may live it out in a lot of different ways, but we can't effectively live that mission without unity. So let's keep working at it, church. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for the diversity of your creation and the unity, Lord, of your church. And as we gather around Christ's table this morning, we remember that it is as wide and as long as your love for us. Fill our hearts, Lord, with compassion towards each other, and move us to be in full accord with one another, to have unity. Make our joy complete, so that it flows into the world. And God, as we receive the sacrament of Holy Communion, strengthen our sense of unity with other Christians right here in Clinton and around the world by binding us to this example of sacrificial love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So guys, we are going to come to this table in just a minute and receive the sacrament. And we want to take just a moment, just in the silence of our hearts, to prepare ourselves to come and receive communion. And so I just invite us into a moment of prayerful confession. You know, if there's something right now that you need to seek forgiveness around, maybe there's a broken relationship, there's a place where you haven't been maintaining unity in, maybe you've been a contributing factor, it's okay to take that to the Lord. Confess that to Him and ask for His grace to heal us, forgive us, and help us in our relationship. So let's take a moment to do that. Lord, in your mercy, would you hear our prayer of confession today? Amen. Amen. I want to remind y'all that the night in which Jesus shared the sacrament with his disciples, he took bread and he blessed it and he gave thanks over it. He broke it and he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Take and eat from this, all of you, for this is my body which is broken for you." And when the supper was over, he took the cup. He blessed it, gave thanks over it, and offered it to his disciples, saying to them, "Drink from this, all of you. For this is the blood of the new covenant, which is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you would in remembrance of me." And so this morning we come in remembrance of what Christ has done for us. We remember that though we are many, through Christ we are made one, just like there's one loaf and one cup. We are brought together into this one beautiful, strange, sometimes family of faith. And so we seek God's blessing upon our fellowship and upon these elements. As we pray, Holy Spirit, would you come and bless and consecrate this bread and this juice? Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by your blood. Lord, make us one in Christ, that we may be one in ministry to all the world, that we may have this common mission as a people, and that's to make Jesus known. Lord, help us with this mission right here in this church until you come in final victory and we feast at your heavenly banquet. All honor and glories is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Amen. I would like to invite those who are going to help serve communion. Our ushers and also our band members are going to come. And we are going to share communion. The ushers are going to lead you out to the center aisle. You will come down. There will be a station over here and a station on this side. We'll receive by intinction, which means you'll be given a piece of bread. And then you just take and dip the edge of it into the cup. And then you can eat it. And then once you receive communion, if you have an offering, I remind you the baskets are here. This is a special offering for the Helping Hands Ministry. And once you've done that, you can return to your seat and prayerfully await others to come and receive the sacrament this morning.